From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, exploring the latest on how technology is changing our lives and our society. Today, after markets close, Netflix gives us its latest profit report. Earlier this month, the company announced its service would expand to 190 countries. And last week, an NBC Universal executive acknowledged that NBC is using a new ratings technology in smartphones to listen to users and understand just how much of a bite Netflix is taking out of their business. Farhad Manju at the New York Times says larger broadcast companies should be paying attention to Netflix. Farhad, you think the company's plan of world domination is kind of nutty, though?
It seems nutty in the way that many startups seem nutty, which is like you're going after this kind of huge and really wealthy incumbent industry. You know, usually what happens is you get this kind of disruptive idea like Google or Facebook or something. They come up with some plan to make a lot of money, and then they just start making money. Netflix is bucking that trend. All the movies and TV shows and documentaries and stand-up comedy specials that they're running, cost money to make, and they're just doing more of that every year.
You are bullish on Netflix's future, despite the fact that it has all this really, really massive, really powerful competition.
I think the trends are sort of moving in their direction. So the kind of rate of cord cutting is going up. That is happening, but it's happening slower, I think. But kind of those trends are running in Netflix's favor. In sort of international markets that are kind of developing, it's coming in there the way kind of the smartphones did. Like smartphones, you know, kind of skipped by computers in many Asian countries. They became the first computers, and Netflix may become like the first premium TV service.
Do you think that Netflix will eventually get into live television events?
They seem to want to get into everything at some point. That's the other kind of reason I compare it to Amazon. They're doing a whole lot of things, and Netflix kind of has evolved similarly, right? Like they were originally a DVD service, you know, and then they moved on to like second run movies on streaming. Now they're doing originals. Like they seem to have some kind of similar ambition to do many different kinds of things over time.
Seems like they still make what, half of what a lot of broadcasters make per amount of time spent watching their shows?
I mean, I think almost certainly we can expect Netflix to raise its prices, especially in their most sort of established markets. The kind of the long-term bet that their investors are making is that over time they'll become very profitable. The number that I've heard is that they need to get to somewhere like $15 per subscription.
How long is it going to take? $15 in 2020?
My kids watch so much Netflix right now that, like, I would certainly pay $5 more for it.
Farhad Manju, tech columnist for the New York Times. Farhad, thank you very much.
Thanks. Great to be here.
To that last point, Netflix chief content officer Ted Sarandos said the company would be focusing a large chunk of its $5 billion 2016 budget for content on, yes, family programming. The difference in rent prices between San Francisco, California, and neighboring Oakland, whether you're looking for a place to lay your head or a place to change the world, are shrinking. The surge in commercial real estate spending in Oakland is up 20% over last year. But real estate companies are finding that their new clients have new expectations. Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood has more from Oakland.
I've totally underestimated the evolution of office perks.
There will be snacks. There will be food you can order from the food artisans upstairs. There'll also be a yoga studio, a podcasting studio.
This is Joel Poole, CEO of The Port Workspaces. The company builds co-working offices throughout Oakland. Freelancers and small companies pay a couple $100 a month or more for space, and of course, for the free kombucha bar. This location in downtown Oakland used to be a department store. Poole is transforming the ground floor. He'll keep the escalators, but he's adding a basketball court, shuffleboard table, retro video games, and
there'll be a 500-square-foot, we call it a community hammock. It's made from aircraft wire.
Yep, a hammock. It's suspended from the ceiling, so it's perfect for meetings or maybe meditating.
This will be the slide that you descend from the hammock.
Slides are kind of a thing at the Port Workspaces, and among the extras tech companies have come to expect around the office. But their expectations don't stop there. Salesforce will be the biggest tenant in the billion-dollar Salesforce Tower when it moves in 2017. For its investment, it'll get natural air pumped into every floor, extreme energy efficiency, tech-free zones, and flexible workspaces. But Salesforce has a 15-year lease. A lot of smaller tech companies aren't even sure they'll be around that long. Dan Harvey is vice chairman of CBRE, one of the world's biggest real estate firms. He says building owners...
they want 5-year, 10-year, 15-year leases. Well, tech companies don't move in cycles that are that long. They're thinking 90 days, 120 days, a year.
And he says commercial brokerages have to accept these new terms in order to get this new business. Want to see the culture clash in action? Check out the conference room at CBRE's San Francisco headquarters.
It has fabric on the wall. It has wood, kind of a dark, it's just a mahogany with books. So think of it, it's the library. You wouldn't see this in a Airbnb office.
The workplace of the future can take some getting used to. Take it from me. At a party at one of Joel Poole's co-working spaces, I got peer pressured into trying the signature slide.
Oh, God. I'm in it. Here I go. Oh, God. Oh, I am too old for this.
In Oakland, I'm Molly Wood for Marketplace.
And you know that part in the movie Devil Wears Prada when the character played by Meryl Streep and based on Anna Wintour dresses down an assistant for scoffing at the thought that goes into making a fashion choice?
You're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff.
Well, in 2016, that group of people can be an app. One app that seems to be gaining some momentum is Clueis. You take photos of all your clothes, and the app suggests new combinations, useful if you're colorblind or if you're me in middle school. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.